In 1996, two teams of amateur climbers, led by professional guides, attempted to ascend Mount Everest. Before the expedition was over, five people would die. One of the survivors, journalist and author John Krakauer, wrote a magazine article about the tragedy, which he expanded into the best-selling book Into Thin Air. This Sunday, ABC presents a telemovie based on Krakauer's book and accounts by other survivors. TV critic David Bianculli has a review.
The telemovie is called Into Thin Air, Death on Everest, and it's surprising on several levels. It's surprising that it works as well as it does because so much of Krakauer's book was internal. It's surprising that director Robert Markowitz insisted upon filming this telemovie on the Austrian Alps, where conditions on Everest could be approximated without the danger, but with lots of credibility and discomfort. Most of all, though, it's surprising that a drama this involving could be made from a subject this non-visual. I know, most people think of mountain climbing as an amazingly visual and beautiful thing. And at least one good movie, K2, has been made on the subject. But once you get above the tree line, landscapes of snow and ice look pretty much the same, especially on TV's smaller screens. And so do the actors. Covered with heavy parkas, with their faces obscured by oxygen masks, most of these characters become indistinguishable after a while. That's true, even more literally, once the storm hits. And if you think about it, Into Thin Air is basically a real-life and real-death disaster film. We're introduced briefly to a bunch of characters who get thrown into a dangerous situation and have to fight for their lives. One reason ABC's Into Thin Air is better than the usual disaster movie is that it doesn't waste time with dramatic contrivances. Instead of devoting a lot of time to humanizing each climber in advance of the trip, this drama, adapted by Robert Avreck, lets us know them on the mountain. In the entire film, the only time we see the climbers indoors is in the opening scene, when the movie cross-cuts between the two rival guides giving basic instructions to their respective teams. Peter Horton, who played Gary on 30-something, plays expedition leader Scott Fisher. And the first voice you'll hear belongs to Nathaniel Parker, who plays the rival expedition leader, Rob Hall.
Tomorrow, we begin a 10-day hike into Base Camp Everest. Now, Base Camp is 17,600 feet. Then Camp 1, 19,500 feet. It's early in the game, but already there's a third less oxygen than at sea level. So we'll lay in again and let our bodies adjust. Then we go up to Camp 2. Now, Camp 2 is 21,600 feet. This is when you have to start worrying about edema, both cerebral and pulmonary. It's where your brain can swell up like an overinflated balloon. Your lungs fill up with so much liquid you literally drown. Camp 3. It's 24,000 feet. Now your body is inhaling four times faster than normal and still not getting enough oxygen. Your digestive tract is going to want to call it quits, leaving your body so hungry for nutrients it'll literally start to eat itself. And then it's Camp 4, 26,000 feet. Welcome to the death zone.
Before seeing ABC's Into Thin Air, I had doubts that the script would dare to criticize the actions or reactions of any climbers, particularly the very rich and prominent Sandy Hill Pittman, whose survival gear included a cappuccino machine. I also had doubts that it could make the dangers seem real. This telemovie, though, boldly does both. All of the climbers, Krakauer included, are dramatized with flaws intact. And there's one scene early on, before the real danger sets in, that ought to keep viewers riveted and uneasy for the rest of the drama. One hiker leaves the safety of his tent with only his boot linings on. He slips, falls on his back, and slides down the mountain with a speed that quickly goes from exhilarating to terrifying. And he dies. Literally or figuratively, all it takes is one slip, and these climbers are dead. Into Thin Air, the telemovie as well as the book, questions the wisdom of climbing Everest and leaves me with only one unanswered question. Watching my preview tape, which went straight from scene to scene, was an impressively intense experience. But I wonder, on regular TV, with the constant interruption of commercials, will Into Thin Air deliver the same thrills? All viewers can do, I guess, is set up camp, start the journey, and see what happens.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.